Welcome to the Diary of a Sales Expert podcast. My name's James White, and I'm on a mission to help business owners and sales professionals all over the world get incredible sales results. So thanks for listening, and let's get started.
Okay, so welcome back to another edition of Diary of a Sales Expert podcast. And this week, I'm going to talk all about sponsorship. And what opportunities does it give you, maybe as a business owner or someone that works with a certain department or team, and why sponsorship is something that maybe should be in your locker to consider? So let me give you a pre-ramble to this before I start. I've been involved in working with sports sponsorship for some time. I've helped secure deals for a large football club. I've also secured deals for one of my clients for a large cricket organisation that they work with. So I've been able to help get sponsorship in place for those organisations. And I've also been in a position where I've sponsored people myself and sponsored organisations myself. And not to a massive level, but I do some personalised sponsorship at the moment. For example, a couple of cricketers, Jamie Overton, Craig Overton, Lauren Filer plays for England, Casey Aldridge, people like that I've sponsored. And I've helped those guys, and they've obviously helped me with their, with putting my name and brand link to who they are. So I just wanted to talk a little bit around sponsorship. What does it do? What's the reasons why I do it, and why I think it can also potentially be something to consider as part of your sales and marketing approach? So the first thing that a lot of people think about when it comes to sponsorship is the awareness. So what you'll normally see, for example, is in certain sports, you'll see a name of a sponsor. Maybe it's in rugby or football or cricket or golf, for example. The name of a brand or a sponsor on someone's chest or their cap or their shirt or whatever. And sponsorship is one of those things that's been around for quite some time. It's very popular. It's used by a lot of organizations to help ensure that they bring commercial revenue in. And it's something that the advertisers or the companies that are sponsoring those organizations get a lot of value associated with it. So they drive certainly a lot of awareness of who that company is and what they do. And they will use that sponsorship to also then drive, if they do it in a clever way, some engagement with fans afterwards. But the main thing that people are looking for when it comes to this sort of sponsorship is awareness of your company and your brand and who you are and what you do. I remember once doing a deal for a football club a number of years ago, and the head of an organization said to me at the time, he said, I'm looking for eyeballs. So that was his phrase. I'm looking for eyeballs so I can get eyeballs on my brand so that I can then repeat that on a regular basis and make people aware of who we are and what we do. So firstly, sponsorship gives you awareness, and it can give you awareness at different levels. And obviously, most people and most organizations would look for a sponsorship that can bring, be quite cost effective to put in place, but that can deliver incredible results and value. So it depends on how much you obviously spend. So, for example, if you want to sponsor the front of a Premier League team football, I'm letting you know that that's going to cost you probably in the region of between £6 to £10 million a year in the UK if you want to sponsor a Premier League team. And that's probably what I would call a mid-tier team. If you want to sponsor a top-tier team, one of the big ones like Liverpool or Manchester United, then you're probably looking now at, I don't know, £50 to £100 million a year to sponsor that organisation. So significant amounts of money. So you might be thinking, well, that's way above my league, James, or why are you talking about sponsorship? We'll come on to in a couple of things in a moment as to why there are some other levels that we can focus on. But the key thing is, if you look at certain brands, when they get their name in front on a shirt, then it makes people aware of that brand, and it makes people then be intrigued as to who the brand is and what it is that they do. And a good example of that, for example, would be at the moment, thinking of some brands that I've seen as sponsorship that I hadn't seen before, Spotify. So, for example, at the moment, Spotify are on the front shirt of Barcelona Football Club. Now, they've paid an awful lot of money to be on that, but they're on the front shirt of Barcelona. Or another good example of that would be TeamViewer. So TeamViewer at the moment, which is a software tool that enables you to log in and see other people's systems, is on the front of Manchester United shirts. There is, for example, a company, for example, it's a lot of betting companies that will do a sponsorship. For example, the club that I know that a deal was done recently with has got a company called BKA, Aston Villa have BKA, which is a betting company on the front. So you can basically do sponsorship deals in a number of different ways. But the key thing that most people are looking for is awareness an awareness of your brand and who you are. Now, in some cases, that awareness can be at a much lower level. So, for example, I sponsor my local, my nephew's local football team. Why? Because they needed a kit and I felt, hey, that he needed to have a good kit to go and play football in. I want him to do well. So I bought the kit and put my name on top. So if you look at World Juniors FC, you'll see James White Sales Success on there. So the point being is that you can sponsor at different levels, but the key thing really is it's going to drive awareness and eyeballs. It's going to put your brand in front of potential people. And the key thing is, and this is the critical thing around sponsorship, is what audience does it put them in front of? And the question is are you going to be in a position where you put your brand in front of an audience that hopefully you can then work with and engage with? And as we'll see, for example, in some cases, some businesses put their brand in front of someone, but it's not actually relevant to their audience, which is sometimes a bit of a waste. But firstly is awareness. It drives awareness of your brand and who you are. The second thing that also sponsorship can also do is to really help how you understand how people perceive you as a company. And one of the good things that sometimes people will use for that is to position their business in a certain way. So a good example of that was competitive positioning. And a great example of that was Skoda. So Skoda as a brand was pretty much in the past seen as an uncool, not a particularly helpful brand, but it wanted to reach a really younger audience. So they were interested in reaching a younger audience that was focused on quality of life. So they sponsored the cycling legend Bradley Wiggins, and the stats show that he helped them drive a 22% increase in likability and a 54% increase in the amount of time spent on Skoda's website and a 14% growth in under 55s. So in other words, that focus on sponsoring Bradley Wiggins, and as a cyclist, he was able to promote the Skoda brand. That meant more of their target people they wanted to come and engage with, so under 55s, that maybe 40 to 55 age group, it brought more of those people to that website, so it helped them in their competitive positioning or to open up a new market. So again, another great thing for you to maybe think about is actually, what are the market opportunities that you've got, or whether there's a new area you want to get into, or maybe there's a new area that you want a demographic you want to target, who could potentially be a good sponsor opportunity for that? A third great thing to think about when it comes to sponsorship is that you're able to create interesting content that can be quite unique and different. And we all know that people love to have something of content that goes viral. But there is, I remember a couple of years back, there was an example, and there's a video, and I'll try and put a video link into the video, into the podcast for you to see, or into the YouTube channel if you watch it on YouTube. There was a picture of two England cricketers, Tom and Sam Curran, and they were doing a throwing challenge, and it was sponsored by a betting company called Unibet. And they showed them throwing this challenge. And literally, I think the video had about 2.5 million hits and views. So literally, there was 2.5 million views of a video of just these cricketers throwing something, because people are intrigued by that. People want to see interesting content. I've done some videos before of the people that I sponsor, whether we've done content of them playing golf or doing some stuff at cricket. Or, for example, one of the series that I have on my YouTube channel at the moment is how sport and business are aligned. So an interview I've had with a couple of the guys, I've basically made sure that we can share some of their insights there. So when you sponsor people, you normally, as part of that agreement, get the opportunity to spend 1 to 2 to 3 days or time with that company or that organization or that person, which can then you can use to arrange some content with them. And the content, providing they're open to doing that content, is a great way which you can then share onto your channels, and hopefully they'll share it for you, which sort of, if you like, takes your reach out to further people from there. So it's a great way to be able to showcase and create some interesting content. And bear in mind, the world nowadays, people are intrigued by different challenges and information, things that people do. So creating content with people and organizations that have a bigger profile than you can elevate what you do to another level. So generating content's one aspect. But also, what you can also do is be in a position where you can do sponsorship and make sure people mention specifically your product or service itself. So I'm thinking of some scenarios where in the past, an example of is Nivea. So Nivea do a shaving foam and deodorant for men. And Nivea have had 3 or 4 Liverpool football players who they've obviously had a commercial agreement with to be able to basically show these Liverpool players using Nivea in the shower. And obviously, if you're Nivea, what you're hoping is that all these Liverpool fans out there, but all these youngsters that are, you know, looking at sports, football teams and that sort of stuff, are going, oh, mum, I want Nivea. So what they're hoping is if the Liverpool players are using Nivea, that they're going to get their mum or dad to want to, or they're going to buy Nivea themselves, because they're thinking, if it's good enough for Trent Alexander-Arnold, then it's probably good enough for me. So, you know, you can be in a position where you showcase your product or service directly. And what that does, especially when you engage with people that have, again, high profiles, is creates what I would call a halo effect. Another good example of that would be Josh Butler, so England's cricket captain for the One Day team. He does some sponsorship deals with Charles Tyrwhitt, the shirts manufacturers and the people that do make suits and that sort of stuff. And what they'll do is they'll show a picture of Josh Butler looking really suave and sophisticated in a Charles Tyrwhitt shirt and suit. And that makes people in the cricket world and those that love cricket maybe go, oh, I want to buy that product. So again, it can enable you to showcase what you do in a much more effective way. A couple of things to bear in mind, though, when you do that, though, and a couple of rules to consider. Advertisers and governments now are getting much more stringent around who does what when it comes to sponsorship. So what you will find is that people are a bit concerned. So, for example, Cristiano Ronaldo fell foul of this a number of years back. He put up a post, which he was paid for, on Instagram, of a, I think it was something to do with crypto. It was a cryptocurrency, or it could have been something to do with financial trading. And he basically put this image up there and said, go and do this. And of course, what that meant is there was hundreds of people, thousands of people that went and did that activity. But the product that he was promoting had a bit of a higher risk to it. And there were some legal cases and some fines and whatever else to that company for making sure that the celebrity doesn't do it in an appropriate way. So just be careful around if you have a service or offering or that, you know, maybe can create some challenges or can create some discontent or even could be illegal in some cases. Just be careful about how you get people to start to showcase that. So it's definitely an area you want to be a little bit careful about. But it's a great way if you do have permission. Let's say, for example, there you go, I've got my water at the moment. If you're watching, I'm Blenheim Palace and I've got my water bottle. Let's just say I'm Blenheim Palace and I want to promote someone to promote my water. Then if I've been in a position where I get someone to promote Blenheim Palace, then what I'm also looking to do is then be in a position where Blenheim Palace, their water's been promoted. If I've got a person that they're in front of them, then it's going to help them. So sponsorship is a great idea. And by the way, actually, if you listen to this, and by the way, I'm open for sponsorship. If you want me to sponsor, so let's say you're a shirt company. You want me to put a better shirt on than this? I'll have your company on there. So, say if you're looking for a jumper or, you know, some jeans, let me know. All jokes aside, the point is, as people build profiles, so other organisations want to be partnered with them and to do that. And we'll see in lots of cases in podcasts where podcasts are sponsored by certain organisations. And I'm not going to lie, in time, if someone wants to come and sponsor my podcast because it's grown to an audience, then I'm open to that conversations. Not that that's my main reason for doing it, but it helps me then do a better quality that means I can impact more people. So sponsorship is definitely a way to create content or showcase products or services. So the fifth reason why sponsorship is also a really good thing is that if you do it in an effective way, you can generate leads. So let me give you an example of it. So again, one of my clients, Trade Nation, is sponsors of Somerset Cricket Club. And 3 years ago, when I put that deal together with Trade Nation, we did an event at Somerset's Cricket Club where we basically put some caps, orange caps on, Trade Nation's got an orange brand. We put caps and T-shirts on the ground. And we then did an event where people gave their data to Trade Nation for them to contact about some events and information. And over the period of around about three different events, over which were sort of 2 hours at a time, we collected nearly 800 leads, which we were then in a position where we did, using the appropriate GDPR communications because people had given permission, were able to follow up and have conversations with people, and that generated instant business opportunities for them. So you can get data because if you can do competitions or incentives or fun things like that, it basically means that people will enter those things to be part of something or to win a competition or to find out more. And being able to gain data from that is a really key thing. But just bear in mind when it comes to sponsorship as well, you need to just bear in mind three rules. There's three rules I always talk about when it comes to sponsorship, or not three rules, but three things to consider. Year one, when you sponsor someone, people have no idea what it's about and who you are and what you're about. This is especially important if you're a commercial organization working with a sports team. But year one, people don't know who you are. So the first year, if you go into it in first year and then come out of it in year one, the chances are you're probably not going to waste the money. It's going to be something that's not going to deliver value for you. Year two, when people start to say, oh, I've seen those guys sponsored us last year, or they sponsored him this year, what it's then going to do is it's then going to maybe, okay, who are these people? And then it's going to make them have a little look at you guys, maybe what you do and how you and what you operate. So I would encourage you to really just think around year two being that area where you people again start getting a bit more familiar with who you are. And then year three is where people go, oh, right, oh, yeah, well, I know James White, or I know Trade Nation, or I know that organisation. Let me have a look at that. And what you do is you what you call commercialise the sponsorship in year three. So just be aware that you've got to commit to those things in time. People won't see it initially and go, oh, I'm going to see that company and work with it. They might if they think there's an offer in it for them, or if they think there's something they want it, you know, to work with. A really good example of some companies that do this are, so I have these little turmeric shots, which are really good for my body. And the turmeric shot company will partner with sports teams, and then they'll offer some promotional things alongside that so people can get access to products. That's going to be an opportunity potentially to get some, if it's a smaller sort of lower price product, it's going to get people to want to use that straight away. But in time, it, you know, in most cases, it takes time to build up that affinity. So another way in which sponsorship can also work for you is through events themselves that you can run using the sponsorship. So let me give an example of two events that some events that I sponsor. So I sponsor I'm a member of a network organization called Network My Club, which is a brilliant organization run by Bradley Hatchett. I did a podcast with Bradley a couple of weeks back on networking, which we will link to in the show notes. But one of the things I do is I sometimes will sponsor Bradley's events. He has 150 business owners that will come to an event, whether it's at the Amex Stadium in Brighton, or whether it's to the Oval or Twickenham. And I will sponsor that event, and it gives me a chance to have a bit of a conversation with Bradley. I get a chance to put some banners up and share some information with people. So I will sponsor an event like that. And again, if you are making sure that the organisation, the area that you're targeting, if, you know, for example, I work with lots of small business owners that want to grow, that's an ideal place for me to target my services and target my what I offer, because I know there are going to be people there that are of a similar sort of type to me. But again, like I just mentioned in the point before, if you do one event sponsorship, the chances are that's going to mean that you might get forgotten about. But if you sponsor over a course of a period of time, you know, maybe commit to doing it for maybe 1 to 2 years, it's going to help an awful lot. Another event that I sponsor is I'm a member of a golf network called Mashie Golf, which is where I meet lots of other business owners, and I will sponsor 3 to 4 of their events per year alongside some other sponsors, so it gets my brand and profile, again, with the right type of audience. So sponsoring events and networking events is another great way in which you can get your brand to be really visible as a result of it. And a couple of the other benefits, just when it comes to... two other final benefits before I finish that it comes to when it comes to sponsorship... The seventh point is it related to not just driving sales, but experience for your clients. One of the best things that we've done when I've worked with a number of organizations and sponsored in the past is we've taken some of our best clients to experiences with that organization. And I've heard some incredible stories of people that have been able, because they've sponsored an organization or they sponsor someone, they've been able to bring that person into the cricket or the football environment to go and see the dressing room or to go and see the boardroom or whatever it is. And what that's done, plus they've added in some great experiences, maybe meeting a couple of the professionals there. For those people that are really big fans, it's really been a big thing for them. It's helped them, you know, deal with this incredible experience. And I'll be honest with you, if you think that that doesn't have an effect on the way people buy, then you're wrong, because it does. I've done business with people a number of times where people have been really grateful to something I've done, and they've carried on working with me because it just cemented the relationship. Of course, if what you offer isn't really any good, then they're not, you know, it's not going to work. But it's a great way to cement a relationship and to make customers even more sticky when working with you. Or you can also use it as an opportunity to generate business. So if you want to, you know, if you, for example, do some sponsorship at a certain event and you can bring a potential client along, not only is it a chance, you know, people may not want to go to a meeting with you directly, but if they want to go to a sports event or to a music event, going with you gives them a chance to do that. And it could then enable them to have a conversation with you and discuss things and talk through some business opportunities from that. But it can generate great experience, and you cannot buy incredibly custom experiences, which is what people want to have, that makes them feel great and that builds that affinity and trust and love for your brand and what your company. So point number 7 is it can generate incredible experiences, and just consider that and keep that in mind. And then point number 8, and this is the final point, but it makes people want to join your company. So I've had people reach out to me as a result of some of my sponsorship and said, I really love what you do and I see you're growing and would you have any opportunities? So it's a great tool in terms of recruitment because people also feel that they get the chance to be involved in part of that process. And so I've actually seen people, as I say, and I've heard of a number of companies that have done sponsorship where people have reached out and said, well, if they're spending money on sponsorship, that's a company I want to be part of. They're growing. I want to link myself to that. So sponsorship with is a great way to build your team if you're looking to grow your team. And you can even use some of the, again, the resources, the stadiums, the people, the events to encourage and do recruitment activities. I've seen an organization that's done a sponsorship of an event and has then been in a position where they've run a recruitment fair at that location and people have wanted to come along and see that because they wanted to come to the stadium. So again, it's a great way to recruit people for your business. So look, there are eight key points around sponsorship and what it can do for you. And look, there are different levels of sponsorship that are put in place. And like I've mentioned, I'm a small business and I do sponsorship of some individuals. I do sponsorship of some events. And there are obviously bigger companies that will do much bigger forms of sponsorship. But the reality is you can do it if it suits you. But a couple of rules to consider and just to think about before we finish. The first thing is think about what impact you're looking for with this. When I think about businesses and trying to market in and using these type of tools of marketing, I always think you've got three key goals that you want to focus on. The first is brand awareness. I want to make as more people as possible aware of my brand. The challenge around brand awareness is it's difficult to measure, but it's something you want to be able to do. The second thing is I want to acquire new customers. So I want to be able to bring new customers on board and generate leads. And sponsorship is a method to be able to potentially do that. Or the third issue is customer retention. I want to look after the customers I've got. So when you're thinking about a sponsorship that you're putting in place at the moment, just decide which one of those three it is that you're trying to focus on and try and put some metrics in place that can, you know, help you see whether what you're investing is going to be successful. Because it may well be that you're investing, I don't know, £20,000 in a sponsorship of an event or an activity. But if your goal is customer acquisition and you could spend that £20,000 better else on, say, Facebook adverts or Google adverts or an outbound marketing campaign that will generate you more leads than the £20,000 of sponsorship, just be careful about that, those aspects. So the first thing is just really focus on that. The second thing to also just remember when it comes to sponsorship is you should be in a position where you are not just, you know, don't put the sponsorship out there and expect everything to happen from that. One of the biggest mistakes I see companies make is they don't activate the sponsorship. So I also have a rule when I'm doing sponsorship that I would generally, whatever the figure is that I've sponsored, I would generally want to spend at least 50%, maybe 60 to 70% again on other what I would call event activity around that. So let's just say you sponsor an event for £1,000, put an additional £500 in the budget to then do some activation, do some campaigns and materials around the outside of that so that it's not something that you are just doing as a one-off and then being in a position where, you know, you wonder, well, I've put the sponsorship up there and no one's seen it. You've got to create some content. You've got to create some socials. You've got to create some information and some materials that can go out to the audience before and after the event that can make them aware of you. So make sure you leave some money in the budget for that. And then the third thing that I would say is around sponsorship and as a final point is do it for the right reasons. Do it, you know, because you want to link into your business. Do you want to help your business grow or do things? But if you only look at it just to be able to try and, you know, get a short-term opportunity, the chances are the relationship between you and the sponsor isn't going to work out very well and it will be a waste of time and money. Try and focus and work with people that have similar brand values to you, that have ethos to you, and that you know, you feel are a good fit. And build that relationship up between the two organizations. Good organizations, and there are some bad and there are some good, will understand that sponsors, if they look after sponsors and engage with them, then they're going to be in a position to deliver a great result. That means that, you know, again, in the case of Somerset Cricket Club and Trade Nation, my client, they're now sponsoring them for the fifth year in a row because the relationship is strong and the business is good there. So just be in a position where you can do it for the right reasons and build a partnership that can work alongside that. So look, I have a resource on my website or a resource I could share with you called 8 Ways to Activate Your Sponsorship. So if you do any sponsorship or if you're interested in looking at sponsorship and you want to learn a bit more about how you can get more in return from the investment you make, let me know and we'll give you access to that resource. But the key thing is sponsorship's a great way, whether it's at a smaller level or at a higher level, to get people aware of your brand, to grow the chance of working with customers, to deliver great content, to showcase your service directly, to build that halo and trust effect with, you know, senior celebrities or sports teams that can, if you like, add credibility to your brand. So maybe consider it as part of your sales and marketing option as a great way to also look, deliver great experiences for your team, for yourself, for your customers, and maybe even bring people into the business as well. So I hope that's given you some insight into sponsorship and it's been useful. If it is, then let me know. I'd love to hear your comments. What sponsorship has worked for you? If you think sponsorship's a waste of time, let me know as well. Hey, I'm open to all ideas. It doesn't matter. The key thing is, you know, we want to share different insights that can work. And if you've got a different story, then hey, let me know. So as I always do, I finish the podcast on an inspirational story. But by the way, I'm always on the lookout for inspirational stories. So if you're listening to this and think, oh, James hasn't covered person X, please let me know who that person is so I can cover their story in a podcast. I'm always looking for great stories. And I'm, you know, short of them, being honest, we've been going the podcast now for over a year. I've tried to do an inspirational story every week, and I'm going to carry on this podcast for the next 10 years. So I'm going to need 500 inspirational stories, so bring them to me. But I did want to share a story just based upon the element around business as well. And some of them are going to be some quotes around failure. And I did a podcast a couple of weeks around failure, and I mentioned this guy, but I'm just going to reinforce the point in them to him. And it was a guy called Max Levchin. And Max Levchin's story was that he said, the very first company, I started failing with a great bang. The second one failed a little bit less, but still failed. The third one proper failed, but it was all right. I recovered quickly. The fourth one almost didn't fail. It sadly didn't feel really great, but it was okay. My fifth company was paper. And I just think that story, again, when I go back and talk to people about the failures and the issues that you have in your business world and life, just remember that, you know, it was okay for Max Levchin to have those three or four failures that made him what he is. That story, when I'm ever feeling like I'm not achieving what I want to, I sort of go back and know, actually, got to keep going, got to keep doing the work, keep trying, keep putting yourself out there. That inspiration for us all is what we need to be able to achieve what we want to in the future. So that's the story from Max Levchin. He's not a person that's rode the Atlantic or you know, run hundreds of marathons, but his story inspires me, and I hope it can inspire you to achieve what you want to in the future. So that's it for me and the podcast this week. Again, if you do like the podcast, please like, subscribe, share it. And if you could review it even so, that would even better, because the reviews will help us inspire more people, do more interviews and conversations, and cover more subjects that are going to be beneficial for everyone out there. So thank you so much for listening and giving your ears. I hope you've enjoyed this week. All about sponsorship. Hope it works for you. Reach out to me at any stage on social media if I can help you with any question you've got. James White Sales is just search me there. But if not, I wish you the very best of weeks, and I'll see you then next week. Take care.
So thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you've enjoyed. If you have, please subscribe to the podcast. It helps us ensure more people can get the insights and ideas they need to get incredible sales results. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode.